I'm really curious, like, now that you mentioned, like, you're really a service provider, like a designer that's focusing primarily on this kind of businesses, the Web3 businesses. I'm really curious, as you scale the Red Design Studio from going live from a solo founder to really the agency route, and I would assume like you would plug in your course there to also get other collaborators. What are some things that you will never compromise on, regardless of how big Red Design Studio gets? And also, I would love to hear like what is the big vision? Like, what is your vision or where to head with Red Design Studio?
What do you mean by compromise? Like, can you give me an
Like,
example of?
well, I was gonna, I meant like, what are some things that you would never compromise on? So, in the sense of, there are some businesses out there or some service providers that they would cut some things just in for the sake of scale, and others that just want to stay small to keep that some kind of a relationship with their clients. Like, what are some things that you'd like to really retain that maybe give you energy or like you see that have a massive value to the clients that you'd like to keep in Red Design Studio as you scale?
That's a very good question. You know, there are a lot of, not just in design, but in general, like startups and businesses, they have like a one-liner and they say, we're Uber for cats, you know, like a slogan that represents your company, right? And in the context of design, like there was a slogan that was particularly popular a while ago. It was like a 0-to-1 designer. You must have seen it as well. And so you're a 0-to-1 designer. And obviously that means that you're designing for startups that are just starting out, right? And so another one just yesterday, there was, we're a design partner for ambitious founders, something like this. And I've been searching for that one thing in Red. What is that, right? And also at the same time, do I even want to brand myself as something specific? I don't know. And I found it, but it's not an easy one, not even to articulate. What I want to do is, I'm going to sound pretentious, but who cares? Most of Web3 is completely tasteless. Like, it's not even, they don't even have the word in the vocabulary. And it's a, I think it's a thing, a function of what it is, because if you think about, like, even the concept of the metaverse, right? It's completely evolves from the rest of the world. It's digital. It's, you know, it lives in its own world. And so because it's so detached, it's also detached from every other concrete aspect of life, and aesthetics is one of those aspects, right? So it's like it's been climbing its way back to the popular mainstream, right? With difficulty as well. And like people today talk a lot about consumer apps. You know, well, consumer crypto, consumer apps is products and services that are used by consumers. And consumers are people that have normal lives, and they wear clothes, and they have taste, and they follow fashion. It's you know, you're gonna have kids, and you have the cool kids, and stuff that is weird, and stuff that is nerdy, and it's like, you know, normal life. And I think crypto has had a hard time catching up to normal life because it's lived outside of it for so long. And the harsh truth about consumer is that there are some stuff that maybe is less deserving, less technically advanced, less Zkeysync proof or whatever, but still looks cool. And just because of that, it works, right? And I personally am I like fashion. Just as an industry, it's amazing what you know, the power it has to shape culture and just sell merchandise, right? And so one of the things that I want to do with Red is be tasteful and be a tastemaker for first for crypto and going out to other innovative industries. And being a tastemaker means just making stuff that looks cool and is opinionated aesthetically, but this is hard to do because, you know, there's a big thing about design is that design is not art. It's a job, you know, it's professional, and you get a contract from a client and you get to deliver a website. And they need it in 2 weeks. But maybe in 2 weeks you haven't cracked it. You know, you're like so close, but you're missing that element. And when you're part of a big agency, then you can just deploy manpower and brainstorm the shit out of it. And then one of the interns is going to have the idea and then you can go with it. But when you're alone, like, cognitive load is a lot, you know. So to answer your question, coming back to is that I don't want to compromise on making stuff that's immediately recognizable, which is very hard. Because a lot of times you just want to be like, I'll just do, you know, design is easy. You know, it's like you choose a nice combination of colors and fonts and a nice picture and that's it. You know, most of today's design is like minimal, whatever. But if you really want to make something that stands out, you just got to work more and most of the times you have to sell your choices to the client first and then to the wider audience, right? So I don't want to compromise on that. I don't want to compromise on, I want to say, on the art, but it's not the art that I'm talking about. I'm just on the role that design should have in products.
Yeah.
You know, there's something that I've been trying to do for a while, and is bring, there's a book that I really, really like. It's called The Luxury Strategy. It's changed completely the way I think about business, completely. But it's so particular that it's really hard to bring it into your daily life, business life, concretely. And the one important concept in luxury is that luxury is not comparable. You know, when you do your positioning research and you're like, oh, you're here and other products are here. In luxury, there is no positioning. Every real luxury product and brand lives in its own creative world. And so you can't compare it. So, for example, you can compare Coca-Cola and Pepsi. You're like, I like this or that. But you cannot compare Lamborghini and Ferrari, because Lamborghini is its own thing and a Ferrari is its own thing. It's like they're two horses. They have names. You know, yeah, maybe you could compare the speed, but they're two human, like, living beings. So what I want to do is I want to have a situation where each of my clients has a design that gives them the luxury of standing out completely. Like when you think of Neynor.com, for example, I'd like to think that it stands out. Like it's really on its own. Yeah, you know, it kind of looks like there's the linear creative universe. It's like the planet and the space theme, but it's its own thing, you know, and other websites and design work I've done as well. It's got to be unique, and it's got to be, when you have that, you have a selling point because you're immediately recognizable. But that's hard to do. That's it.
That's actually a very beautiful point. Like you said, like a lot of, like, I'm sure I have personally noticed that, and I'm sure a lot of our listeners have noticed that, like a lot of Web3 brands looking more or less exactly the same, and it's hard to differentiate at the same time. So it's a very interesting point that you made there, like really keeping it tasteful and making it unique along the way. When it comes to founders, though, especially, let's say, of an established brand, what are some things that you believe they should keep in mind in order to get that uniqueness to stand out in the first place? Because for a lot of founders, it might not be that easy to, okay, this is it. And it's never that easy in the sense of like, okay, this is the USP, this is kind of the design, that's how it's going to look like. What are some things that you find pretty important that might help founders go at least start walking that route to building a unique brand that immediately starts standing out?
In Web3, we're lucky because at least the founders that I've worked with so far, even the fact that you're working Web3 at all, it means that you're willing to go outside, you know, the beaten path. So, but that's what you have to do. It's you have to have consumed like a wide range of culture and being able to just even if you don't like immediately, if you don't like something as like a first reaction, that you can conceive that there is another perspective to something, and just like, you know, other parts of the world that have different cultural perceptions, right? But this is, again, in Web3, this is incredibly not a problem because there's people from all over. And you're constantly exposed to give you an example, the first thing that I thought about recently, I made the rebranding of Gina, And when I did the, I was actually surprised that it had such a positive reaction from the team, because I thought they're never going to go for this. This like cartoonish with the red hat. It's going to be like, what is this? They loved it. They loved it. So just, you know, I guess I'll turn the question around. Find good founders to work with.
Yeah, and also then comes a question of, like, as you mentioned, like really stepping outside of the box or the conventional norms. And anyways, you're exploring that with blockchain and being in Web3. So why not just embrace it in every aspect of what you're doing?
Yeah. Yeah, there's nothing. What are you going to risk? It's like, yeah, give it a try. So.
The other thing, like going back to the initial question, like really growing Red Design Studio, my question is also like in general about service companies. How is your, like, what are your ideas to growing that into a full scale agency without really losing that, also that fun aspect and that creative side of things along the way?
Fun and creativity is really a personal choice. You know, every day you can choose to.
This is such
just
a good
try
point.
Harder, Ryan. Yeah, it's true. It's true. In any industry, like you can have fun being a gardener. You know, like that's true. But what I like about a service, being a service provider, and just, I want to say the grind, but you know what I mean. Just you know, the daily work of slowly growing something like this, is that it's like. It's not particular to Web3. It's the same everywhere in the world, right? So it's just, it's, you know, every industry like design and development, they're going to have peculiarities, but more or less it's finding clients, delivering for clients, doing the work slowly, and then all of a sudden it just builds up, right? And there's something, even before I knew crypto, obviously I was in touch with startups. I had my own startups. And there's something that I always personally intensely disliked. It's just, I don't know what to call it. Innovation for the sake of innovation, or just being excited just for something just because it's new. I'm like, who cares? I'm much more excited, but like much more excited by things that have not changed in like 200 years, because that means that it worked. And this, by the way, brings me back to the idea of luxury. Post-luxury houses are old. They innovate in the technique and in the details, but the big things they don't change. And this, for a while, there was a big this was like a conflict point between, like, I don't know what to call it, the innovation industry and the old world. Okay, but there's somebody called Jeff Bezos. I don't know if you came across. This is one of the, I think, together with the famous Steve Jobs interview where he says that life was made by people just like you. This is probably the second most important interview that I always keep in my mind. And Bezos says that when they have to make some choice at Amazon, they always try, he tries to focus not on what's going to change, but on what's not going to change, because that's always the same. You know, like what's going to change, you can't predict because it's going to be new. So there's no point trying to strategize. But what's not going to change, he makes up a specific example. Like he says, there is no possible scenario where Amazon customers, users will want product to arrive later and to cost more. Now, they will always want product to arrive earlier and cost less, right? So if they focus only on that and at the expense of everything else, they'll be fine, right? So these things...
Go ahead, please.
Right? No, I was going to say that this concept of focus on what doesn't change, that's the first time that I heard it was in this Bezos interview. And then there's another example, which is in a book that I still haven't read altogether, but it's from the author of The Psychology of Money, which was very big a year ago. And unless I'm wrong, it's called Some Things Don't Change, something like that.
Yeah.
I'm going to Google it right away. So Morgan Housel is the name of the author. And the second book is called Same as Ever, and A Guide to What Never Changes. And that's what I think you should focus on first. Yeah.
That's honestly such an interesting point, that even looking at the Web3 space in general, like even going above and beyond like Optimism and Farcaster, a lot of founders seem to be, it can be a perspective that will help a lot of founders to just get out of that oftentimes a necessary grind on things that are changing. Just focus on the core. Just focus on what really makes a difference and what really matters, compared to just, and actually at the same time, achieve 10 times at a lot less time and build something a lot more sustainable, regardless if they're founders or service providers or whatever you're doing in the industry, even if you're an employee, it can help a lot.
Yeah. I have something just popped into my head, and I don't know if this is 100% relevant to what we just said, but I thought about, you know, when you think about founders in the Farcaster ecosystem, you think about client developers, right? And in Farcaster, there's only one client that's not Warpcast, and it's Supercast. And for some reason, I just immediately thought of Watch as somebody that focuses on what doesn't change. I don't know why, again, maybe this comparison isn't the best, but I have seen a lot of other client developers chasing the latest thing. And so every time there was a new Farcaster update on the little thing, they were like, we got to rethink everything. This is never going to work. And then they drop the project and they move on to the next thing. And Watch is like, it's fine. I'll just keep iterating. And he's still there. And the other thing that Watch does, which brings you back to service provider, is he wants money for the product. You cannot use your Supercast if you don't charge, if you don't pay to use Supercast. You know, it's a proverb. If you wanna dance, you gotta pay the band. I don't know why people in Web3, which is this primarily financial industry, are afraid to charge users. It beats me. They do the wait list, they do the allow list and the leaderboard and this and that. But they, not everybody, obviously, but Boy charges users almost immediately. I don't know if you had the same perception, but, you know.
Yeah, I've actually also heard like other people mention it as well. And it's when you think about it, it is something that's never going to change it, but it's also like such a common sense thing. In a sense of, if I want to continue building this thing, I need some kind of stream of income. Otherwise, I'm not going to be able to continue building this thing. So let's solve for that first, and then let's continue to the next things. Otherwise, in between, something's going to break, or you're just going to lose the will to continue building that thing because your And I have been in that spot, like, years ago as well, in the sense of like, okay, maybe 5 years from now it's going to make millions, but the thing is, bridging that such a big gap, it's quite hard for the mind as well to keep you excited, like, of waking up every day and continuing to work on the same thing day after day. You don't see any rewards in the process. And I think that's an excellent point, actually, and a great example.
And you gotta pay the bills. Everybody gotta pay the bills, except for a few lucky few, you know. So if you don't consider that, sooner or later you're gonna be faced with that reality.